Recording in progress.
Namaste, divine beings. Welcome. To speak about the Siddhas is to invoke their presence. It is to step into that ancient light vibrancies. Welcoming you all to this satsang. Who are the Siddhas? The ones who have attained perfection, the ones who have woken up and journey beyond enlightenment. I go back to the time when I had just been woken up by my guru Bhairava Sekhar Swami. And I was going deeper within myself to find my wholeness. And I had connected with Sri Ramana Maharishi. I had gone to Tiruvannamalai, Arunachala, and I was lying down, resting next to Ramana Maharishi's Samadhi. And I wanted to ask for guidance as to what next. When Sri Ramana Maharishi came to me as in a dream telling me, you need a live guru to take you further. And that guru is up the mountain. At that time, Guru Aya had done his 8th or 9th year of fasting, of being in tapas. He drank just a glass of milk a day, a small cup of milk a day. He never moved. He sat in Malasana, which is the squat posture, and my first question to Ramana Maharishi was, your philosophy is all about letting go of the body, disregarding what the body is and focusing more on the soul. While Guru Aya is a Siddha who journeys beyond, and his philosophy seems different, so why would you want me to go up the mountain to see him, to see Guru Aya? And so Ramana Maharishi mentioned that after you wake up, you realize your body is the only container you have, and that's a shrine. You need to take care of your body as a shrine to allow the light of yours to shine through. And the Siddhas, journey beyond with that body. And you will connect to your essence over here. And that led me to going to see Guru Aya for the very first time, to climb up the mountain. Now, I'm going to draw back into the stories behind Guru Aya so we can understand him from who he is. One of our other gurus, Mahasava Swami, who was in his solitude near a tiger, in a tiger sanctuary, he told me his story with Guru Aya when at that time they were all sadhus who would go once a day to beg for food. And one day they came back, they all came back with, they had gone and with Ayya, and they'd all come back without receiving any food. So Guru Ayya said, the hunger you gave me, he told everyone and told God, the hunger you gave me does not belong to me, that belongs to you. So I will not eat anymore. I will eat only if somebody comes and offers me something to eat. And then also I will stop eating regular food. So he sat down in meditation inside the Arunachala temple, meditating. Now, as he was meditating, folks came to know about him. And at that time, he slipped into having a banana, some fruits, and very basics. But then he started stopping with eating food completely. He began to start praying to God, saying, my hunger is your hunger, not mine anymore. Now, there's a story of Guru Ayya climbing up the mountain. There was a woodcutter who observed Guru Ayya walking up the mountain. This was after a year of him being in tapas inside the temple. Guru Ayya started climbing up the mountain. And this woodcutter wanted to help out Ayya and said, told Guru Ayya, let me help you find a cave around. And as they climbed up the mountain, he tried to show the various places where Guru Ayya could meditate, and Guru Ayya said no. He kept walking up, all the way up. And when he reached up on the near the peak of the mountain, there wasn't even a cave. He simply sat under the hot sun and started meditating. Now, the woodcutter thought this was a madman who might be meditate for 2 or 3 hours and then come back. But the next day, when the woodcutter went up, he saw Guru Ayya still meditating out in the open, out in the cold wind, through the cold wind at night. And here's the next day, the hot sun. So he quickly began to construct with all the wood a sort of like an enclosure. And a few days later, he brought some milk and offered it to Guru Ayya, and Ayya drank it. From that day, he would take milk, and Guru Ayya would drink one cup of milk, and then the rest he would offer back as prasad to those who brought the milk for him. But one day, it was about to rain, and this woodcutter had brought some honey and other stuff for himself. Guru Ayya called him inside and made him sit down inside. And then it started raining and pouring. But miraculously, there was no rain or nothing, no wetness in and around where Guru Ayya was meditating. He was protected from all the elements. That's when the woodcutter realized this is a powerful Siddha. And from then on, folks would climb all the way up to see Guru Ayya. And I had climbed up to see Guru Ayya. And when you go into that cave, the cave-like enclosure, you do not see him. He will see you. And you would go around saying his mantra. And Guru Ayya would leave a message for everyone. And that is, you don't need me physically. You don't need to see me physically. All you need is my mantra. Whatever is your thought, whatever is your intent, it'll come true if you say this mantra. This mantra received today along with his sacred presence. Ayya. Ayya means father. Ya means third eye. Ah is infinite God. Ayya. Siva, 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 Siva. Siva is infinite, infinite, absolute God, Goddess, Source. Siva, Siva. Arakara. Ara. Ra is fire. Ra is energy. Ka is grounding. Ka is earth. Ka is manifestation. Araka Ra is manifest whatever there is within. So when you go to Ayya, you're receiving his mantra as the consciousness within the mantra itself as his presence. We are also receiving all the years of his meditative sacred fires through the mantra. So let's say the mantra and receive the mantra. Ayya, Siva 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 Siva, Arakara Arakara. Ayya, Siva 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 Siva, Arakara Arakara. Ayya, Siva 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 Siva, Arakara Arakara. When you are saying the mantra, if you have the picture of Ayya, visualize it. Feel it as the innermost fire being woken up as that ancient light within the mantra. Ayya. Nama 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 aragaram aragaram. 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 Nama 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 aragaram aragaram. Nama 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 aragaram aragaram. Now, when you light the lamp within and say the mantra, we are setting alight the sacred inner fires of Mother Kundalini. As we say the mantra, let's rise from inside. Let's rise, blossoming all the chakras, climb all the way up above the third eye, up above the crown chakra, all the way from the root chakra. Ayya, nima 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 aragana aragana 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 nima 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 aragana aragana. So, Ayya was in the meditative sacred fires. And oftentimes, I used to ask, how is it possible for anyone to be all by themselves and up on top of the mountain receiving visitors just for maybe 1.5 hours every day? In the morning, and once the morning darshan, giving the vision, is over, they will close back Ayya's enclosure with thorns and greens to ensure nobody goes in to disturb him. And there he is in his own beautiful world. So I wanted to find out, what is this world about? So I would climb up the mountain and spend the night next to where Aya's enclosure is and simply meditate. And at that time, I could feel huge, vibrant energy moving around. At something like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I would burst out singing. He was in Kechari Mudra, that is, the tongue has gone backwards all the way up. So he could speak like a little baby. But there he was singing, and when he was singing, it just felt like the gates of heavens had opened up and all the divinity had were pouring down into the earth realm. And this dimension of seeing Aya made me understand the extremes of ecstasy and orgasmic light he was celebrating every moment in his completeness, in his wholeness, in his solitude. And that presence of Guru Aya is the one who later inspired me to create our music, Cave of the Siddhas, that has now been calibrated using kinesiology to break the limits of enlightenment. Our music of Turiyanada. So going back into this moment to understand the concept of absolute, sheer, overflowing light while meditating meant that Aya was dancing in the stillness, and there within the stillness he was as a dancer. This is a very important concept in meditation. This is the essence of all the years of meditation to climb into the zone where we are meditating perpetually. And this is what unfolds for us the supermind. Now, on the human level, there were many stories about Aya. One of them is the story of Guru Aya's helper, Manohar, who would climb up the mountain, serve Guru Aya. And one day, the day after Manohar's birthday, he had climbed up the mountain, and as he put his head inside Guru Aya's enclosure cave, a stone landed on his head. And that was Aya throwing the stone at him. And he gets shocked, and Aya. So Guru Aya said, "Listen, yesterday you and all your friends gathered together. You called me and you drank. You call me, you don't drink. You drink, you call me, you don't drink. You drink, you don't call me. Why should I do your drinking for you?" Now this is sitting atop the mountain, and Manohar is all the way below in the plains of Tirunamalai. And that's when we realize the omnipotence of Guru Aya to not only be the spectator to our realities because we've invoked him, but also to be the presence within us. So in my story is the time when I would climb up with a lot of camphor to give to Ayya so he can burn through every night, and a lot of fruits for him to distribute to everyone. And he mentions once when I brought in all the fruits to him, he said, whoever gave me the fruits, ask him to take it back. And I was heartbroken because my reality had sort of dissolved away in terms of my business and what I was doing. And Guru Ayya was my hope. And then he sends word saying, tell him to take the camphor and go up to the peak of the mountain and burn it. And there I was burning it, burning the camphor bits by bits by bits. I brought in something like 4 or 5 kilograms. So it took me about, say, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to burn off all the camphor. And just when all the camphor had burnt, the rock underneath cracked, and then I heard Guru Ayya's person come to me saying, Guru Ayya is calling you below. And I went in, standing outside the cave. He said, now distribute your fruits. And that's when I realized, while I was burning off the camphor, I was burning off my trauma and burning off all the darkness. Must have been so many lifetimes of all that which was in me was burnt off. And now I was pure enough for Guru Ayya to tell me to distribute my fruits. But yet, something like 3 years later, after I had first initially got in touch with Ayya, he had not called me to initiate me. But one day, while I was meditating in Bangalore, I felt Guru Ayya come to me saying, pack up your bags and come. Now. So my thought was, this could be my mind that is delusional. So I asked the question, how do I know you're real? And he mentioned, ask me a question. And my question was, why do you sit in Malasana, which is the squat posture, which is very difficult to sit, even for a few minutes is difficult. And he'd been sitting on that squat posture for years together. So he explained to me, saying that once you wake up, you consider your body a shirt. You could let it go and walk away. But sometimes when you sit in that Malasana posture, you're able to be in the body, lift yourself above the navel and master the 5 elements, especially the body and mind. And you could use your armpit against your knees to regulate your breath. So when I heard this, I packed up and went. When I climbed up the mountain, that day, over 90% had climbed up the mountain. And there was Ayya with a stick, hitting the ground, hitting around like a madman, saying, every one of you fellows have come for something that you want from me. You want something in your life. There's only one person who has come only for me. And he points me out. He ushers me in and gives me my first face-to-face initiation by doing this. And once he gave me this nama, I could feel his presence in me. And that led to my next story, which is going to an ancient temple where there's a primordial guru, Adi Muruga, and connecting there and receiving my name, Nandiji. Now, when we worship the light within, with the guru as our first God, we connect to the lineage of the gurus above. And here is Guru Ayya Vaikuntha. 1850s. Guru Ayya Vaikuntha had a very challenging circumstance. He was from the Nadar community, who were originally the Pandyas, the lineage of the Pandyas, the king dynasty, the Kshatriya dynasty. And they were banished from the kingdom. And then They were pushed even further, saying that they were worse than the untouchables. So if an untouchable had to stay 60 feet away from a Brahmin, a Nadar had to stay 120 feet away from a Brahmin. The Nadars were denied everything, education, whatever hassles that could be created and extremes that was given to the Nadars, including not being allowed inside the temple. There were 200 taxes on the Nadars. And all this money was going to the Travancore Maharaja, under whom is the Padmanabha temple, the world's wealthiest temple, with over $25 billion of gold found in the chambers, and there's still the major chambers yet to be opened. So all this, the Nadars had 200 taxes put over their head. Now, the Nadars understood the only way they could survive this was adopt a set of rules. And the first rule was to educate themselves wherever they went, to take up the hardest of the work. And then there was a Guru Ayya Vaikuntha, who walked into the ocean one day. He was handicapped. He couldn't walk. And one day he walks into the ocean and disappears. 3 days later, he comes up and says, "I am Narayana, I am God." And of course, they put him in prison. Because here's another guy saying, "I am God." But when he was put in prison, he proved himself with many miracles that happened in and around him. Like, they brought a hungry tiger into his cage. Instead of the tiger eating him up, the tiger quietly sat down. And then the king realized that Ayya Vaikuntha was a saint and he should not be harmed, and they let him out. So he started this social revolution, and that revolution was: light a lamp inside yourself. You do not need a church or a temple or a mosque or any place of worship to find God. That God is inside you. Wear a turban. This is your crown. You do not need any dogma or belief systems to control you or contain you. You are liberated. You have your own guru inside you. Connect to that guru through your tapas. Your tapas is when you recite the mantra on and on and on. That is tapas. Connect to this tapas. And in this tapas, the I has become the we. We are the many. So this revolution that he had created by way of this teaching was a peaceful, non-violent revolution. But the whole of the Nadar community literally adopted it. Where? Now, they were empowered. So the temples of Guru Ayya Vaikuntha, there's a lamp and there's a mirror. And the mirror is to say, you are the guru. Look at yourself. When you look at the mirror every day, understand you are the God. You are this divinity. Having said that, that was expansion of consciousness. And with this expansion of consciousness, the entire Nadar community rose up. Where they were pushed to subservience and irrelevance, with the expansion of consciousness, not only did the Nadas rise up in the society as to shine in all the professions and all the careers and all the businesses, and wherever they were the leaders throughout India. They understood the power of bringing the lineage light to dissolve the I of ego to we. So the one has become the many, and the many has become one. This is the story of Guru Ayya Vaikuntha, who set a light, hope, guidance, wisdom for a community that now we share with the whole world. That all humans all across the world break free from dogma, break free from the limited mind, that each light a lamp within and be the master, be the guru. So let's say the mantra invoking Guru Ayya Vaikuntha. Ayya Aragaram. Now when you're saying the mantra, may it bring it to the third eye. And we're saying the mantra through the third eye. And through the third eye, visualize all the masters, all the gurus, all the beings of light coming to the single point of light within a third eye. Now, in meditation, as an advanced form of meditation, where the Kechari Mudra multiplies a light within. Kechari is a frog. In modern days, they have discovered frogs much beneath the earth, which could be hundreds of thousands of years old, and somehow it springs up to life. This is a yogic concept. The yogic concept is to pierce the sphere above, and in this joy is the nectars of immortality, the nectars of rejuvenation, the nectars of immortal, in the immortal nature of the spirit that descends to the human realities of experiences and being. So put the tongue backward up, lift it all the way up, and we are going into the vibrancy of the mantra through the third eye. Going into the vibrancies of the mantra, understand that what we desire will come true. So it's always more beautiful, always positive to think from the highest, so we desire the desireless desire. Our desireless desire is for the highest good. One day, while climbing up to see Guru Ayya, I wanted to see God with my two eyes. And that was my prayer to Guru Iyer. I want to see God with my two eyes. And that day, as we did earlier, we would say the mantra and go round and round and round and round at the front of Guru Iyer. And as we circumambulated, I felt that wish was granted. So I came down the mountain, and then on top of the hotel, in the balcony, in the town of Arunachala, you can see the sacred mountain of Arunachala. And we were meditating. It was about, say, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And there was another guru, there's another Swami who had been in the cave for over, say, 9 months. He had been meditating in the cave, and he came to sit with me. And there was Ayya Manohar, who would serve Guru Iyer. They were both sitting by the sides of by my side. And while I was meditating, suddenly I felt something golden inside me. And then I could hear Manohar and the Swami literally, you know, shout in joy. And I opened my eyes and see the whole mountain Tiruvannamalai has become golden in color. It felt God. This is the limitless limit that I am seeing with my two eyes. I came back after this. I came to America. And through my journey in America, every Thursdays I reserve for my inner journey. And at that time, my wife came and told me, hey, when you meditate through the whole day, there must be so much energy in you. Have you considered painting? And so she left behind for me all the paint, all the paints, including a chopstick. And my first painting was, how would Prophet Moses have seen God? And that was my very first painting. And I could feel the gush of energy come through and do the painting. And that's how I painted over a period of time. Each of our paintings are 3D in nature, until I felt I was being selfish with my joy of painting. And when I meditated on Guru Iyer, I said, listen, I am painting all this and it feels so selfish for me because it seems to be just for me. Allow me to paint for humanity the big picture. Allow me to do something for all of the living. That would be my painting I would love. And so I felt a condition come to me saying, you will paint the painting that you will consider 100 out of 100. And when you have done that painting, your painting will stop. You will stop painting, and then you will start painting a big picture. And true to that, the final painting came, and it felt so complete. Once it came to me as complete, I realized now I was stepping into the realm of painting for humanity. And this is the declaration of consciousness movement, where if we can all awaken to a higher wisdom, let go of all the dogma, beyond religion, being one with light, we recognize the light in each other to worship each other, which is the truest meaning of namaste. We realize that all parts to God is parts to consciousness. We realize the law of karma and dharma to evolve from an animal self to human, human to being an angel. And we are now gifted and blessed with wisdom. And that wisdom translates for us as heavens of experience in the now And the realities we create, that is betterment of humanity to the heavens that we unfold. This is consciousness. This is a global movement where we envision all nations to adopt the Declaration of Consciousness. And the United Nations adopts the resolution that consciousness is the intrinsic, inherent right of every human on planet Earth. Now, humanity will truly progress into harmony, peace, coexistence, abundance, sharing as one human family. This is the dream of Guru Ayya Vaikuntha. This is the blessings of Guru Ayya Narayana. So let's say the mantra. As we visualize the best for all others, let only the good be in our lives. Whatever is the limitations we have faced until now in our life, let there be abundances of what we have desired and what we truly seek and what we are. We will say the mantra, and as we say the mantra, look through life. Wherever there is the lacking, bring abundances. The truth of this mantra is the nobility of intent behind is what causes Dharma as blessings, karma as blessings. So when you go into the mantra now, visualize it through the third eye, visualize what your life goal is, your highest vision is, what we seek, what you want around you, what you want as healing for yourself and for others. Look through this, and we are going to say the mantra. We will say the mantra a couple of times. But after this, you would say the mantra 108 times to digest this light. But let's go into the mantra as one. And as we are saying it, dissolve the I into Guru Ayya Narayana, into Guru Ayya Vaikuntha. Feel that ancient lineage that goes all the way down, all the way up to all the rishis, thousands and thousands of years back into the now. As the light of tapas, the meditative energies of all the sages, may they fulfill our innermost. Rub your palms together, feel all the blessings, and receive the blessings. So, divine beings, light your lamp, say the mantra 108 times. Know we have lit that which is eternal, that which that grows in us as an embryo into the vast, immense light that we are. Know that we are now awakening, expanding consciousness continually. The grace of the lineage of light. So now is question time. And before we get into that, let's summarize the entirety of what we did. Light our inner lamp. Awaken our inner guru. Be the vortex of light as you chant the mantra. When you're chanting the mantra, you are in the vortex of light, protected, guided, sustained. All the vibrancies of light is ours as we awaken and as we alight all others and uplift all realities. Connecting to Guru Ayya and his lineage of gurus, Guru Ayya Vaikuntha, through the mantra. Expand your consciousness and be successful. In other words, complete yourself in life. Whatever is your highest purpose, complete it, and that is success. Completing a highest purpose, allowing for that highest purpose to be in momentum. So each moment we are now multiplying ourselves, allowing all our potentials to shine, and here we are as one. Om Namah Shivaya, divine beings. So this is time for questions and answers, and would love to take your questions. So let's first begin with this. Okay, the first question before us is, yes, the first question, Sarananandiji, I have a question. Kindly guide, how can we connect to the Siddha lineage and transform our body into golden light body and bliss, becoming one? This is the mantra grace. When we are in tapas, we understand we are now the core of joy and bliss, and from inside out, we transform our body, we transform our realities to the same vibrancies of the golden light. So the body becomes the body of bliss, and the body rejuvenates, likewise with the realities that translates to be heavens. Next question. Thank you so much, Nandiji. Please, can you show the Kechari Mudra again? Kechari Mudra is the tongue. Let the tongue go upwards. You could use your fingers actually to move your tongue backwards. Okay? The important thing is for the tip of the tongue to touch the roof of your tongue, the roof of your mouth. Now, when you're saying the mantra, there will be a sensation over here. Expand on that sensation and take it up through the crown and beyond the crown chakra, and be seated over here above the crown chakra. Yes. Now, another question. Can we ask Guru Ayya for healing of another person as we chant the mantra? Yes, of course. Please bring focus whom you want to heal and send that energy. So let's do it right now. To all who require healing, whom we know, whom we hold together, bring them in and hold them in this light, and let's do it together. Guide about the Mahapanchakshara mantra and how to chant it. We will do it in the next few satsangs. This is a satsang on Guru Ayya and the mantra. So I would like us to focus on this satsang and this energy. Next question. I loved hearing all the stories of Guru Ayya. In all the years, I have not heard them in full. This is my life. I'm remembering when the light orbs of our children danced around his picture. I remember your taking Ishana, my daughter, to see him, and he threw stones. Okay, I had taken my daughter up to see Guru Ayya. My daughter was at that time 1 year old. And she got into seeing Ayya, and Guru Ayya took a little bit of mud that he was sitting nearby, and he threw it as blessings because the mud he's sitting in has the power of all his tapas. My little girl got very angry with him, cross with him, because she thought he was throwing something at her, and she immediately said, "Hey, Guru Ayya, what do you think you're doing?" And then Guru Ayya realized he had made a mistake, and he immediately went to this girl and said, "I am so sorry," and held her deep and said, "You know, here's all my blessings." So anyway, it showed the humility from for a being of that light. He was so humble before my little girl. Anyway, so another question. This is a question about sound. In North India, we say Shiva. Here we say Siva. Why is the difference? It's a very important thing to know. That Tamil is a very ancient language. You could say Tamil could be the mother of Sanskrit. All the spiritual words in Sanskrit are in Tamil. But when you say Shiva, you're sending out energy. Now say Siva, you're pulling in energy. When you Shakti, you're sending out energy. When you Sakti, you're pulling in energy. So when you say the mantra Siva, 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 Arakara, Arakara, you're pulling in energy, generating more energy. As you're saying the mantra, as you're saying Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, you're generating more energy. Siva, Siva, likewise Mukti, Mukti in Tamil, yes. Okay, next question. He often did express himself in anger with others. Was he cracking the coconuts of ego, or was it that the energies disturbed him? Okay, two things I know is, when you are in meditative state, you want space. You do not want anyone coming into your space. I'm enjoying myself in my light, in my unions with God light. Now, if I have someone coming in between, to me, this is disturbance. It's not accommodating. It's disturbance. So that's one part. Yes, of course, it's the energies of that which I would have to send my energy to straighten that energy out, to have that energy associate and be near me. That's one part. But the other part is, wherever the higher vibrancy is, it cracks and dissolves away the lower frequencies, to allow that being to attain the same higher frequency. So when you are near a realized being, you can expect our ego to be cracked and broken and dissolved. You can expect everything to dissolve away and for the new to come. And that was Guru Iyer. Yes. Question. How can we work with the mantra to manifest a reality such as our dream job, new house, and happiness with others? Yes, it is all about intent. Set the intent and say the mantra. When you set that intent and say the mantra to the third eye, it manifests. Now, there is a secret in the third eye. The right side of the third eye is where the manifestation takes place. The left side is the past. The left side is what you have experienced before. So, feel the left dissolve into the right and bring your focus to the right of the third eye and manifestation takes place with ease. Yes. Does Guru Iyer give darshan still? Guru Iyer left his body 6 years ago. His samadhi is in Kanyakumari. Guru Iyer's samadhi and Guru Iyer Vaikuntha samadhi is there. There's no priest in Guru Iyer Vaikuntha's temple. Anyone can go. Anyone can go anytime and walk around the samadhi any number of times and seek the blessings, attain the ancient presence of the light, and connect to the tapas of all the gurus, and with that walk out with the light lit within ourselves. So in this way, Guru Iyer darshan is every moment. Every reality, when connected to Guru Iyer, every reality, Guru Iyer shows himself as the splendor and magnificence of our experience. So, divine beings, it is wonderful that we connected here to receive the presence of Guru Iyer and the Guru Iyer Vaikuntha lineage. May all of humanity awaken to the grace of being. May all of humanity be free of limits. Let there be the abundances of love, coexistence, wealth, happiness, health and vitality for each of us. ஜெய் குருவே துணை, ஜெய் குருவே துணை, ஐயா துணை, வண்டர்ஃபுல் டிவைன் பீயிங்ஸ், ஓம் நம சிவாய. Grateful for the moments we shared together. To learn more or to connect with Nandiji, email us awake@nandi.com, nandhi.com, or visit our website nandiji.com, nandhiji.com. In grace and blessings as one. Om Namah Swaya.